OTB.
Bemused, I think, is probably how he feels in his head. Bemused how they could go from where they were last season, 99 points, 67 games unbeaten at home, to a situation where they could be on the edge today of losing six games in a row at home.
OTB live commentary. Never miss the action right here on OTB Sports Radio. Keep up to date with the latest scores on the OTB Sports app. The OTB Sports app. Live score updates straight to your phone. The OTB Podcast Network.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power. Fueling the mischief in the beautiful game.
Gamble responsibly. See Dunlewy.net.
Hello there, you're very welcome along to Sunday's Off the Ball. Joe Malloy with you. If these are the growing pains, give us the morphine. Ireland 0, Luxembourg 1. We'll come to that very shortly. Also at 3 o'clock as well, Gary Breen will be with us and journalist David Snaid. On Leinster's Pro 14 win, Niamh Briggs on the show and the Sunday Independent's Brendan Fanning as well. We'll do that around 5 o'clock. At 4 o'clock, an interview I'd highly recommend. A man of many talents, All-Ireland winning manager, hotelier, Liam Griffin, and his reflections on being 75 years young. That's between 4 and 5. We'll review the papers at 2 o'clock. Bernard Jackman and Kieran Cunningham coming your way. Text number 53106. We are at Off the Ball on Twitter. Do get in touch. Curious for your thoughts on last night, which is where we're starting. So there is a list in Irish football and you don't want to be on it. And it has things like Cyprus in 06 and Liechtenstein in 95 and Macedonia in 97, and I think we're now very much adding Luxembourg in Dublin in 2021. Bad night for all concerned. Seamus Coleman, I'm sure you saw afterwards, said he was embarrassed by the whole thing. Here's Stephen Kenny then in his press conference afterwards.
We're very disappointed to lose the game. We can't get away from that. Like, there's no point in hiding from that, you know. I think that's obvious. I think, listen, the players' morale was good going into the game. Their attitude was good. I think they were determined to get a result. It wasn't a complacency. We knew that Luxembourg had pushed Ukraine tight last year in 1-0, and Ukraine had won that group with Portugal and Serbia 3-2. We knew that they had done well and had taken points in a lot of points in the Nations League. So we weren't complacent in any way. But it ended up being a pretty even match. Which is disappointing. Obviously, we'd more to play, but you know, we missed it. James. Obviously, we thought James had scored. It would have been an outstanding goal, team goal, in the first half. But we didn't create enough, to be honest, in that period. And you know, so we're quite disappointed with that. You know, very disappointed, to say the least.
You said in your program notes about the game after defeat in Belgrade, you know, becoming that more progressive footballing nation. Do you think you're getting that point across to the players?
Listen, we played really well in Serbia tonight. It was an exceptional display. We probably deserved to come out with a point, but we matched them over the 90 minutes in terms of the way we played. But today was certainly a step back. I think what it showed me today is that, and I'm not making excuses at all, I'm just, it showed me that some players, a lot of players struggle with the physical capacity of trying to play two games in 3 days, because a lot of them are not playing for their clubs. And I think that was very evident to quite a few players. And I think it wasn't their psychological preparation or their determination, actually, you know. They all love playing for their country. They wanted to do better than they did. Some players struggle to get anywhere near where they did the other night.
Now, David Myler's with us. Afternoon, David.
Good afternoon, Joe. You all right?
All good, all good. So, last night, where do you want to start?
Basically, it wasn't good enough. Like, the point is, Stephen had spoken about fellas care about playing for the country. For me, it was the biggest honour of my career. I'd give my left arm to play for Ireland again. I loved it and cherished it. That's all I ever wanted to do growing up. And I felt, certainly in a few performances last night, that wasn't the case.
Are you talking work rate?
Everything. You know, like, you look at the basic fundamentals, you know, to play professional football, you've got to, you know, you've got to run, you've got to work hard, you've got to tackle, you've got to close people down, you've got to do the basic stuff. And there wasn't enough of that. There was no like selfless running in behind, you know, just going the extra mile, you know, doing that stuff that's required.
It was interesting, Stephen Kenny there said he wasn't making excuses, and I think that's his overriding point, but he was saying a number of the players just don't have the fitness, they're not playing enough at club level, so maybe on the back of the Serbian game that explains the lack of work rate that you're talking about from some players.
Maybe, but at the same time, you should be training regularly, you should be fit enough to cope with the demands that are, you know, okay, there will have been a lot taken out of them from the Serbia game, but you've got to dust yourselves down, you've got to go again. Like Seamus Coleman didn't look like he had any problem, and he's not been playing, you know, as of recent. Obviously he had the birth of a new child, so which is, you know, he's missed some games with stuff like that, but he didn't look like he had a problem running up and down the pitch.
True. There was a sloppiness about the whole thing, and, you know, just making notes during the game, knowing that we'd be talking the next day. I mean, to be honest, I did it anticipating we'd win. So, but, you know, so, and these are just random moments, but they kind of capture an overriding issue. So in the 10th minute, for instance, Ireland press Luxembourg brilliantly. Their keeper boots it out of play. And you think, okay, we're, you know, this is, we can do this to Luxembourg. We couldn't do it to Serbia. Throw into Alan Brown, his first touch. He puts it out of play. Kieran Clark, 13 minutes, a couple of minutes later, straight out of play. Then we have 45 minutes. Ireland are on the break. James Collins, left-hand side. That's just a dreadful pass, kind of outside of his foot, straight to a Luxembourg player. Just no quality there. 58th minute, Alan Brown. It's a 2v1. He has James Collins on an overlap after a good pass from Jason Knight. 2v1, and instead of giving it to Collins, he just gives it to the defender, intercept, away they go. 63 minutes, Jason Knight, so sloppy with the pass to Coleman, ends up Republic of Ireland kick out, Luxembourg sensing they can press Ireland. These are just small examples, but honestly, they were just dotted throughout the performance. We're talking basic passes here. I mean, if you're Stephen Kenny and you're trying to employ this game, and you're just having these basics of first touches and passes, like, these lads are professional footballers, and we're seeing mistakes from them that you just can't fathom. They don't make sense, David. Doesn't make sense.
No, I get that, and I can't. It's very difficult for me even to sit here and, you know, as you're going through different examples of players turning over possession, giving the ball away, what have you. I can't. It's very difficult for me because I won't progress to be the type of a passer Paul Scholes was. I made mistakes. Those happen. But I think the big thing that you have to take from it is, how big is your character then to, if you do make a mistake, you don't make the same mistake twice. Like, obviously you've jotted them down and you're highlighting two or three players who've made vast amounts of mistakes. It's not as if it's in the creative third where you're trying something outrageous to maybe put someone on goal. You're talking about basic stuff like, course, look, you're talking about the throw in, Alan Brown's touch or whatever.
And you see, it's not a big deal. In isolation, it's so not a big deal. And like, it happens to even the very best players. But
yes. But
it characterised the whole performance. Like, they all, those little moments start to add up if you're trying to implement a passing game.
Of course, yeah. And you can't afford that. You can't afford mistakes. Like, that's inevitably, that's what, like, if you look at the goal that Luxembourg got last night with the boy Rodriguez, it's, they'll punt up the pitch or whatever, and then it's, you know, the first header's won. Jason Knight is back tackling. Like, the boy is fortunate that it pops in front of him a good 2-3 yards so he can come on and strike it. But it's like those little things that you're almost trying to make teams, you know, make mistakes so that you can get in and create chances. But we're the ones who are making. It was just certain parts were sloppy, and that's, we can't afford that. But maybe there's a case of, maybe as a nation, as football fans, that we think we're better than we are.
Well, I was just going to say, is there a reality check there for everybody?
I think there is. I think there has to be. I think we have to, you know, we have to look at it. You know, we went into the game after like a reasonably good performance against Serbia. I felt we should have got something out of the game. Obviously, like I said, with Tadic had those moments of brilliance, and Mitrovic's first goal, the chip, is a beautiful goal. But we struggled against Luxembourg. There's no getting away from that. You can tell by any interview you listen to, they said they were embarrassed. It was an embarrassing performance. It was, but maybe we're not at the level. You know, certain players maybe aren't in true international players that they, you know, have the, they can demand the ball and have that self-belief to go and affect the game. You know, it's, there is a lack of experience in there. You look around the team, is there a lack of leadership? Like you've got, of course, look, I've played with Seamus for the best part, like all the way back to 21s. Yes, he's a leader, but the rest of them, who then is going to be pulling everyone else alongside? Seamus can't be the one always demanding everything. Others have to step forward and demand, you know, higher standards from other people. Can't just rely on just the captain. Mm. If you look at, I look at when I first came into the Ireland team, you had, you know, John O'Shea, you had Glenn Whelan, you had Keith Andrews, you had Robbie Keane, you had Shay Given. You had big, big characters. They ran everything. There was, you know, five, six of them. At, like John Walters is another name that I just forgotten, but that will tell you how many big characters were in that change room to be able to say, come on, we need more. And at the moment, to me, it only looks like Seamus is the only one really saying, come on.
Mm. Kevin Kilbane is with us as well. Hi, Kev.
Hi, Joe. How are you keeping?
Very well. So for you, what was the biggest issue with the performance last night?
Well, I've just heard the back end of what you and David were talking about there. I heard you listing out the mistakes and, you know, you're good in your research, Joe, and things like that. But these things do happen, and I can accept those things. Dave touched on the goal there. Now, what I'd say, look at the goal in isolation, right? Freeze frame the goal when the keeper's about to strike the ball. Look at the distance between the back three into midfield and the front three at the top end of the field. The gap is absolutely huge. There's nobody prepared to get hold of that team and make everybody a little bit more compact, because you still have to give the opposition the respect that they deserve. So what do? They punt it forward. Knight and Cullen are actually in competition for the ball. When the ball breaks, literally, you want a centre-half there to squeeze the back four or the back three as far up the pitch as you can. At least you're going to make that first header count. So it allows the midfield then to go and compete for the second ball. They had four players in the close proximity of the ball, all narrowed up to win the ball. And then obviously Rodriguez gets the goal. That is basics of football. That is absolute basics. Throughout the second half of that second half went on, I'm trying to speed up here, Joe, because I've got my little girl down here who's about to go at any second.
Okay.
So sorry about that. No, but throughout the second half, I texted Joe during that second half at spells, right? There was a couple of occasions where the ball went out of play. There was one player who was sprinting 30 and 40 yards to get the ball to take a throw in, to show enthusiasm, to keep the momentum going, and it was Seamus Coleman.
Yeah.
There was one player on the pitch that was actually showing a desire. And these are little basic things and that every player needs to have, particularly as Dave touched on, you're playing international level, you've got to have a desire. You know, you can talk all the talk you want, you can talk about anything you want. The quality overall was lacking hugely last night, and we were outpassed throughout, probably as that game progressed, that especially in that second half, we were outpassed by Luxembourg. And don't get me wrong, they've got one or two good players, but no, come on. I wouldn't be coming out and saying, look, Luxembourg are a decent side. They've got one or two decent players, which they have. We should overrun them. We should have had way too much just with the not so much the technical side of it, but also just a way to overrun those players and work away into the game and get a win, no matter how it took, no matter which way you get it. You know, Dave and I have both been there when you've come in off the back of the game and you know you've not played well, you've got a result. And I've analysed Dave when he's been playing, I've analysed those lads when he's been playing, and I've been analysed by other players, and you're going, look, wasn't a great performance last night, but you get a result and you get over the line, no matter how you get over the line, and 3 points is all that matters. And last night, 20 minutes into the game, you could actually see what was going to happen. Well, as soon as James Collins missed that chance as well, that was it. You kind of knew there was no more chances going to be created, because there was absolutely nothing in the final third, nothing at all.
Yeah. Why do you think we didn't overrun them, to use your phrase? Like, is that down to inexperience? Is that down to physicality? What's that down to?
I think there's probably a little bit of physicality. I heard Stephen Elliott actually talking about that yesterday on Off the Ball, when he was talking about maybe we didn't have enough physicality against Serbia. We didn't really have... It was one of the suggestions why he would have played Shane Duffy and I probably maybe kind of agree with what he was saying. The physical side of the game maybe is what we're lacking. We don't look like we've got any real, I don't know, maybe even back to front. We've got no one that's maybe that can maybe force the issue a little bit. Sheamus, yes, led the side well. But are we using him for his best by playing him left side of a three at the back? No, I don't think we are. Is Ireland's best right back, but without a doubt in my mind. And I think when you change your system, when you go to a three, Stephen Kenny has probably shown throughout his career that he prefers to play four at the back. By changing to a three, we're probably adapting to say, well, I tell you what now, we probably haven't got the players that can play the way that I want to play, so we're going to have to modify it, which is fine, which is good. You need to do that at times. But we're actually seem to be now playing with a system that's going to suit the opposition rather than say, well, I'll tell you what, we can build something now going forward, which is what Stephen Kenny suggested we are going to be doing going forward. We're going to be building something. Is it going to be a back three long term? Probably not. It doesn't look like that's going to be the way that he wants to play. And physicality has been taken from our side for a new style that's trying to be created. We're trying to play a certain style that's going to be going forward, and we're trying to build from the back. But last night, the gaps all over the pitch, there was no one, you know, even two midfielders close to each other know that you can make a simple 10-yard pass. Everyone seemed to be so far apart. So when we lost the ball, we were so exposed. And there was no one, I felt, even that had a desire when we lost the ball, that were able to just to filter back into position quickly, get the ball back, and then go from there and play in a counter. We didn't have any cohesion at all without the ball or with it.
Yeah, David, you might pick up on that point, the gaps between the players and the formation as well. Are you of a similar mindset to Kev on the three at the back?
Look, the three at the back can work. There's no doubting that. How much time Stephen has had from, you know, when they met up to the Serbia game to then into this Luxembourg game. It's going to be difficult. Of course, we have players who play that formation with Matt and Enda, Darrow, Shane, Clarkey, of course, right? I do agree with, you know, Kev that the gaps are too big. You know, the distances between the back, you know, three and the forwards. Like, if we ever, the team we'd always look at is kind of the Barcelona. If you ever look, it's all 5-yard passes. It's all because if they lose possession, you could snatch it. At times, our gaps are massive in the sense that every pass is 10 to 20 yards. And when the passes are longer, you make it harder for the player, one, to control the ball. If it's the pass is not right, there's too many variables. And that is a big thing. Like, as Kev said, when they have the opposition has a goal kick, you need your back three on the halfway line, crowd the pitch out, try and turn over possession higher up. We are at the moment, the gaps are way too big and we're not able to kind of smother them into areas to turn over possession. Because that's the thing, whenever you don't have the ball, you want to be in narrow, you want to close the pitch off. And then when you get the ball, you spread it wide, you get your wingers touching the, you know, in this case, be our wing backs on the white paint, you spread the pitch and make it as big as possible. But at the moment, we're just kind of a bit, like certainly from last night's game, we're all over the place in the sense that the distances are too big.
Kev, when you came in on the back of that point I was making where I was just listing off those basic errors, I mean, almost the point I was making is that they are basic errors, you know, and in isolation, they're just so not a big deal. They happen in every game at every level. It's just last night, there was just an avalanche of them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you're Stephen Kenny and you're trying to get a bit of rhythm into this team and to get them playing football and you're having these breakdowns so often, you can see Luxembourg, you know, growing in confidence as they feel that happening around them as well. What can Stephen Kenny do there as a manager about those moments when they're happening so regularly? Because I guarantee you, you'll have people texting in saying, well, it's obvious what you do. You tell them to pump it long or you get the ball down the channels. Yeah. You play a traditional Irish game plan because the players can't sustain what he's asking them to do.
Maybe that is right. Maybe that is right that the players can't sustain.
And what are your thoughts on that? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, I go back to the point is those mistakes are going to happen.
Sure.
You know, the little breakdowns, not necessarily those simple passes. You know, that's a bit of sloppiness. You would expect a player to know full well that they're even going to look back at the performance and see, look, that was crap. That's not going to happen again, maybe into the next game. But it does happen. You know, the sloppiness does happen. I felt as that game went on, the players retreated way into the shell and it was a nervousness about them, and that that obviously hinders someone coming demanding the ball. I remember in the second half as well, I'll just touch on this one here. Sorry, Joe, I'll go back.
No, go ahead.
I think Ender Stevens was in possession. He was in the obviously left-back position. He stepped in and they Luxembourg crowded him out. They had two or three lads that crowded him out. And Josh Cullen was stood behind one of the Luxembourg players. I honestly, he had to step in 5 yards. He just needed to step forward 5 yards. And he didn't even have a game know-how or a game know-how. But maybe that's a bit harsh. I think probably he's probably a bit nervous. The game was getting away from us, so the game wasn't quite there. Mm. And he didn't want to step in to receive the ball because he thought, maybe, look, I'll just hold my position here because if we do lose it, I'm in position. Maybe a negative thought, if you know what I mean. It's more preventive than actually trying to be creative. He was actually thinking that he'd lose the ball. And Ender Stevens ended up losing the ball rather than play it inside. They're straight at us again. It came to nothing, but it was little things like that that continuously happened because there was a reluctance to take the ball. And I think what you're saying about those errors that happened, I felt it was just a nervousness that continued to grow throughout that game. And
okay.
If there was a crowd in there last night, I think you really would have, the players would have felt it even more. And you can flip it and say if there's a crowd there that they would have got behind the team and it would have spurred the lads on, it might have hindered Luxembourg. But the longer that game went on, you just felt that the players were getting more and more nervous. There was a reluctance to take the ball. If you watch the first half in comparison to the second half as well, because there's no crowd, you can hear it. Everyone demanding the ball, there was screaming, there was shouting. The longer the game went on, there was no screaming and shouting. Everybody was going into the shell because there was a reluctance again to take possession of the football and start to try and pass forward and start to be creative. And that's what happens when you're playing against a side like Luxembourg and it goes against you. Look, hey, I've been there. I was in Cyprus. But you have to be quite honest and say this is the worst. At home against Luxembourg is the worst. And I'm not trying to justify what happened out there when we were in Cyprus because that was awful. It was an awful night for us. What happened to Steve Staunton after that game was horrendous. His family was hounded and his dad was ill at the time as well. So all these sort of things, you know, you can't, you know, it was awful. Certain newspapers, you know, need to hang their head in shame for what they did to Steve Staunton's family. But this result is way worse because of how it was and how it, you know, no crowd there last night. I'd be looking at players can be expressing themselves a lot more. I've seen that since COVID. Players have been able to go out and play with a bit more freedom because there's been they've not been hindered by the supporters that have been able to get on players' backs. I think it was a perfect opportunity to last night that was missed against a poor side, and you can't make it up any more than that.
Yeah. David, did you sense that growing nervousness as the game went on that Kev's talking about?
Oh, no, definitely, yeah. But, like, going back to what Kev was saying there about, like, even the lads who were demanding the ball in the first half, there's demanding the ball and there's, you know, being in the position to demand the ball. We played a lot of football in front of the Luxembourg side last night where lads are looking to be busy and active. You know what it's like, Kev, where fellas are just going to get on
Dave,
the ball
sorry,
for the sake of getting
Dave,
on it.
Dave, sorry, can I put in there, Dave? That's been like that for a lot, though, under Stephen Kenny. There's been a lot. And it's not been, you know, we're trying to build something, but a lot of the football that we've been playing has been in front of the opposition, and you've played against that type of style. And you're comfortable, aren't you? It's easy to play against, I feel. I think we've been easy to play against. And the last 20 minutes of that game yesterday, and Joe's talking about maybe if we have to go long at times, you bring Shane Long on, that there's your option then. You can go a bit more direct, change it up. It's not. I don't think that's a bad thing. Every team's had it for years. So many different sides have had it. If it's a big guy or if it's someone that's a target man, you can go direct. And that's what we just didn't have, I felt. We didn't have any sort of options like that. Sorry to interrupt there.
No, you're fine. But that's the thing, Joe. It's like when your midfielders are dropping below the, you know, getting the ball off centre halves to below the striker, that's not their job. Their job is to receive the ball behind the striker to then look to penetrate into our forwards. And at times we're going getting the ball where we then have five or six players behind Luxembourg full 11. That's not the point. A midfielder is to link the play. That's his job. And at times we're playing a lot of football in front of him. And you can talk about lads are demanding the ball. You can hear him, but where are you getting the ball? Mm. That's the big thing. And I know as a midfielder, and I played a lot of my career as a holding midfielder, if the player was in front of me and I could make him pass sideways or backwards, my job was done. It's when he was the other side of me and I couldn't see him and he's on the half turn driving up at the defense. That's when I knew I was, you know, struggling and I was under pressure. That's the big thing. And at this moment, we're trying to play a lot more football. But it's the areas and where we're actually, you know, getting the ball and receiving it that we're not, you know, we're not hurting them. Fellas are pulling out into, say, fullback or wide areas to then send the fullbacks on, but you end up going back into the centre halves. And at times it's too slow. If you want to do, that's fine. But when it goes out wide, you need to spin the ball around the other side sharper and quicker. It needs to be less touches and move faster so that you can disrupt the opposition's formation and their shape. It's that's the big thing. And then when you add in, you know, the mistakes you listed, that's where you can't afford that because you're trying to upset their rhythm. But even then, you know, in the second half, look, I've been there. Your back's up against the wall. It's nil all. It's a game you know you need to win. It's a game you feel you should be winning. And then it's really down to like lads' character to say, do you know what? I want the ball. I want to be the fella who's going to make the difference. And last night, there was too many fellas shied away from it. You know, even Kev's point there, where you brought up the point of Josh Cullen. I at times had that mindset where you're thinking, okay, if my teammate loses the ball here, am I in a defensive position? But you can't afford to have that at times when you need to be on the front foot trying to go and win a game or trying to provide, you know, a pass to a player who's in a better position to create something. But it comes back like what is next? You know, this is the big challenge to Stephen Avs. I think now is it's going to be a real testament. There's no doubting he's a good manager. He's had great success with Dundalk and everything. He's done well with the 21s he's in. He's trying to implement a new style. But now is a big, in my opinion, now is a big testament of his man management. How does he get these players, you know, to pick themselves back up? Look, there's going to be these comparisons. Is it one of the worst losses that Ireland have ever had? That's fine. Look, certain players, you'll have to deal with that. But there's going to be, now is a testament of his man management. What can you do to get these players back firing and to not give up on what his philosophy is, what he's trying to implement? Can we go and get there?
I think that's the best point, probably. That's one of the greatest points. It's about his man management. And maybe this is the test that's been coming his way to say, look, can he manage at this level? And it's no disrespect to anyone where he's been and the style of football that he's played and everything like that. But there is probably a little bit more arrogance and a little bit more of show me what you've got with the players that he's probably got within that dressing room now, I'd feel. Now, it's not just on the pitch what you're going to have to show him now. You're going to have to show the players one-on-one, individually, collectively, how he's speaking to those players, how he's going to pick them up, because it's not necessarily about going out and trying to expose the team's weaknesses on the ball now and on the pitch. It's about maybe a little bit of a mental side of how he's going to get into the players' heads.
So, I mean, is there any part of you, David, that thinks these are growing pains, as in we have to go through this to get out the other side so that we're playing a better brand of football and this is just necessary? Are you seeing any tiny shoots, be it Serbia or even last night, even, you know, in the small moments last night, some of the chances created, some of the moments where football did break out? Can we say, well, this just is the pain we have to go through in a way? We're going to have some bad nights so that the, you know, the Knights and the Cullens learn what it takes to play football, to play football properly against, you know, proper men and proper teams. I was going to say Luxembourg are a proper team. I mean, geez, they're not quite in that category. They're 98th in the world. But you know what I mean? That Cullen and Knight have to go through this because they could go through 5 years of the ball being booted over their head. And, you know, they can chase around and do their thing. And that's kind of where we've been a lot of the time. Maybe, do we have to go through this, or would you be more worried than that, you know, that a sense that we will come out the other end?
No, I think we have to go through it. You've used the analogy growing pains, fair enough. I think we have to, like, if you look, the Ireland squad now is in transition. We can talk about players not playing, players, you know, being injured, the whole lot. But I think there is a lot of inexperience in the squad. Yes, some lads are young. You know, they've been brought up from the 21s, which is great for the future. I don't think we can just go and write off the World Cup qualification and say we focus on the next one.
Well, at this stage, we can.
Yeah. I know. And I don't want to disagree with you because we've two losses in our open two games. But you got to have more pride in yourself. I want to go and when we face Portugal, Serbia again, you know, Portugal, obviously we have to play twice Serbia. I want to see performance. I want to see, I know that, like, you know, cause upsets. Like it is a growing pain in the sense that, yeah, it's tough because we're in transition. We don't have those mainstays that, like I said, when I first came in, you had five or six lads who'd been around Ireland for years, had hundreds of games played in the Premier League. We don't have that now. We've got, you know, Seamus, Kieran Clark, say Robbie Brady, Jeff, okay. But like even Robbie and Jeff are on the bench last night.
Yeah.
Like when I came in, all those lads I spoke about earlier were all playing regularly still for Ireland. I think it is growing pain. It is a transition, but it's a case of how do you want to look at it? Do you want to just dismiss everything and be negative? Like I even came, as I come on here, like I said to you earlier, Joe, I was talking to my dad. I said, what do I say? Because I'm as frustrated as anyone else watching the game last night, but I don't want to sit here being negative and negative and negative. I've tried my best, you know, when I've taken glimpses out of performances like the Serbia game where I see positive stuff and I think, right, this is moving in the right direction.
Mm.
But then it was a right kick in the teeth last night watching that, and it's Luxembourg, and it's a game that we should be winning. But then like you strip it down to the bare bones, you're looking, forget about the mistakes, Nat. I want to see work rate. I want to see desire. I want to see hunger, closing people down, tackling, fighting, running in behind, doing all the basic stuff that's required that when you sign up to your local schoolboy club at 6, 7, 8, that's the stuff that's asked me.
And is there any part of you that worries that maybe the players at the moment are digesting a lot and they're, you know, I mean, we're playing out from the back and we've split centre halves in our own box and we're trying to play up the field, and it might be against Luxembourg, it doesn't matter. It's against, you know, it's in a qualifier, that almost the players are so focused on that maybe we're forgetting those basics that you're talking about.
Maybe.
And is that and a case by the of way, by the way, I love to see Ireland trying to play football. It's just you need both.
Yeah, you do. But I made the point, and you know, if you remember back to the England game at Wembley, and there was times when we were trying to play out from the back and we were just trying to overplay. And I remember just specifically, like, England nearly laughed at us, kind of going, okay, we'll leave the first pass go from the goalie to, I think it was Shane Duffy was playing, and then we'll press. Mm. I'm thinking, like, you've got to know game management. You've got to know when you can play. Like, the biggest thing is, and Kev will tell you this, is when you go out on the pitch, you have to earn the respect of your opposition to be able to, you know, play football.
Mm.
It's not a case of you can just go and like, oh, we're just going to knock this. This isn't, you know, a five-a-side with your buddies up in your local AstroTurf. You need to go and need to earn the respect and demand the ball in areas and make, you know, your opponents respect you. Luxembourg came into that. You can guarantee they felt they could get a result, which inevitably they did.
Mm.
There was almost this, after the performance against Serbia and how unlucky we were in certain occasions and, you know, obviously to run them close, that we almost felt that, well, we're going to win this game. And it doesn't, you have to earn the victory. You have to go and you have to do the basic stuff that is required.
Yeah.
And we didn't do enough of that. Forget about the mistakes. They can happen. But it's like, get close to your man. Like, if you're a fullback going up against the winger, centre half going up against a striker, midfielder against the other midfielder, or your forward going against, you have to outwin your own individual battle. And yeah. I think last night's performance, one, we didn't win enough individual battles, but secondly, we almost played as individuals, not as a collective team and as a group.
Quick last question to you both, and it's the same question really. It's not really one anyone wants to ask, but for instance, like Paul McGrath in the Sunday World today is saying it's time for Stephen Kenny to go. Now, I think in most people's eyes, that's premature. He's two games into qualifiers here, admittedly 10 games in total, but that's the kind of stuff that's going to be out there now. David, are you seeing enough thus far to give you faith that this is worth persevering with, that Stephen Kenny's worth persevering with, and or is your faith so rocked by last night that you're a worried man now?
No, I'm annoyed because, like, you've got to even think it's difficult for me because a lot of these lads I played with,
yeah,
like the younger lads who've come through, it's still, you know, they're still my friends, my ex-teammates or whatever. Like for Kev, it's a little bit different. You know, when I first came through, it's probably difficult for him at that time. I'm still in favour of Stephen. I think like he's had a lot on his plate in the sense of the misdemeanors were COVID, you know, certain injuries he's had to juggle. I would love for him to get everyone kind of fit and available. So I am still in that thing, but you know, the daggers will be out in the sense that, you know, it's 10 games, as you said. It's, have we seen enough progression? I think we had seen progression. I think last night was a right kick in the teeth in the sense that it did knock us back, but he's got to pick it up. And like, regardless of the result against Qatar, like come the next, you know, international campaign is going to be massive for him. We need to get a result and we need to probably get a performance with it.
The next game's Portugal away, so that's just what he needs. Kev, same question to you, final word.
I wouldn't want to see him lose his job at the moment. I think I'm probably with David a little bit there as well, that last night was a huge step back, massive step back in how the team's trying to play and what he's trying to implement. But the World Cup's gone. I mean, to go back to your point there, the World Cup is gone now. The players can't think like that, but it is. The reality is it's gone. So we have to maybe just think now we're looking beyond it now. And maybe if we are going to look beyond it and he isn't going to be the coach, then that's when we have to start to think within the FBI and what they're going to do about things. But I think he has to be given a campaign. I actually said two. He's got to be given two campaigns. He has to be given at least 15, 10, 12, whatever it will be, competitive international games before you start to seriously see what he's going to be like as a coach.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. Listen, we'll let you go. Thanks so much, fellas. Kev, thanks for jumping in. I know you got your hands full there, Kevin Kilbane. David Myler, thank you. Cheers, David. We'll take a short break.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power. Fueling the mischief in the beautiful game. Gamble responsibly. See Dunlewy.net.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.